And I don't know why I live for it, but I do.
I have no idea what she's talking about.
If you watch Project Runway and you watched it tonight, you know what I'm talking about. And if there's anybody out there in Radio Lands that's like, that did it and wants to discuss, tweet me. At Lens Ward. We'll discuss. LNSWARD.
What she said?
There was drama. It was amazing.
I don't doubt it. But I have no context, no nothing. I can't provide any color to it.
They made Tim Gunn mad.
How dare they?
He's like literal rainbows and sunshine. How could they ever make Tim Gunn mad?
I don't know.
Those bastards.
All them bastards.
All the bastards.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Did you send me our sheet?
I did last night. Guess I have to send it again. To be professional. Yeah, so... Yeah, I got nothing to add. So, we're good.
You got nothing to add? How could you have nothing to add?
That's not right. I don't have nothing to add. I have something. It's awesome. But it's nothing to add to our conversation. You know exactly what I have.
He got a thing. He wants to play with his thing.
But it takes a while to load.
But it takes a while for it to load. He has to get it really, really warmed up before it's ready to shoot its load.
She knows how to ruin a good thing. I'm just saying.
As we always say, I am the reason we cannot have nice things on this network.
Right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, everyone. This is Angelina Love.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
This is WWE superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie.
And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey to date, Instagram.com/MBG1211. And a huge shout out to all our friends over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, and WildTalkRadio.com. If you're listening to us over there, awesome! If you're not, well, then you can't hear me, so it doesn't matter, but join us in the chat, because we love it when people talk to us. And if you get a quick sec, check out the folks over at fightboot.com as well, because they're awesome and we love them, and you should totally go do it. So, I am your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is my ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I'm a bit distracted this evening.
Would you stop playing with your thing?
No. I am watching football.
Lies.
I am watching football. Eagles and, lies. And Eagles and Panthers are at halftime.
You lie. There is no football right now. I have it on CBS. There is no football. There's a Bud Light commercial.
It's halftime.
Lies.
See?
You're playing with your thing.
No, I'm not.
I can see your Twitter.
All that was a picture.
I can still see it.
Isn't it so pretty, though?
It's beautiful.
There you go.
Why is my browser freaking out?
Because you are mocking me.
No, because my browser can't handle the pretty. WWE 2K18 literally broke my browser, y'all. It's just like, oh my god, it's so pretty!
So pretty.
Beautiful. Absolutely stunning. Anyway, we have a pretty loaded show tonight. We've got a lot of news that we have to get into. There's some drama in the wrestling world need to address.
Little bit of drama.
And we're also going to be talking about Hell in a Cell. We're going to be doing SmackDown NXT Tweet of the Week. All your favorites. But now we're going to jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at Gerwick.net. And, well, we have to talk about the biggest story this week. And there's a lot of speculation. There aren't a lot of facts that are tied to this. And there's actually two stories like this. So we're just going to kind of sort of throw them together because they sort of blend together. They happen around the same time, we think.
Kind of. Well, sort of. In a way, yes, but in a weird way, no.
In a weird way, no, yeah. So the first story is this, that there are rumors flying that Neville has asked for his release from WWE, and it's being reported that he walked out of Monday Night Raw. That's now being disputed, saying that he, in fact, was not there, that he wasn't at house shows this weekend, but nobody really knows for certain. That's all speculative and rumor and everything else, but it is supposedly factual that he has stated that he wants to go back out on the indies. He wants to build his name back up like Drew McIntyre did. And there's no word yet on whether or not he's been granted the release. If everybody's wondering, he was supposed to face Enzo supposedly Monday night. That got changed to Kalisto, and that's the reason why they did the whole title change, was it was also Eddie Guerrero's birthday, and so they used that as an opportunity for Kalisto to get the belt, which we're all fine with.
Well, it's only going to be for a couple weeks, but that's besides the point.
And there are several rumors as to why Neville's leaving, but one of them I really can't blame him for.
Okay, what's that?
So, supposedly, the rumor, the main reason, or one of the main reasons why Neville is wanting to leave is pretty much the same reason that Austin Aries wanted to leave, and that was, it really had to do with the WrestleMania DVD, and the fact that the pre-show match for the Cruiserweight title got left off the DVD, and because of that, Aries and Neville did not get royalties from that DVD, and as everybody knows, that sells like gangbusters, like everybody buys WrestleMania. So they missed out on the profits on that because the match got left off, and it was arguably one of the best matches of the night. So it's a travesty in that sense, but also the fact that they missed out on an opportunity to get the royalties from that is another one, because it's like they're already getting paid crap because they're cruiserweights. And then on top of it...
Oh, that's an interception. Awesome. Anyway, yes.
Oh yeah, that was nice.
But yeah, the royalties are a big thing. I'm going to read you something, an early tweet of the week. Okay. Not an actual tweet. Tweet of the week, but a tweet nonetheless. No one to walk away from anyone or anything that doesn't value you. Self-worth is never determined by others, says Austin Aries.
I mean, honestly, if that is Neville's reason, I can respect that.
The Cruiserweights don't make a lot of money. Let's be real. Neville probably made more than the other Cruiserweights because he was never signed to be a Cruiserweight. But as a Cruiserweight, you don't get the highest price and everything for paycheck and stuff. Your royalties aren't as high, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, it's not even, and you don't get to work house shows unless you're the champion and the guy facing the champion, and maybe they bring like an alternate just in case. But otherwise, you're off the road except for TV, so you're not getting the house show money that you want.
That's the other thing. You as a Cruiserweight, you don't work. The Cruiserweights in general don't really work house shows. There's only one Cruiserweight match. And if you're not the champion, you're not on the road.
Yeah.
And now that he's losing the belt, he wouldn't be on the road as much, thus cutting back on his pay. It's probably a variety of things that boil down to it. Touchdown, Eagles.
You have a sounder for that.
I do have a sounder for that. I don't have the sounder up yet, though. But anyway, point is, that is, it's probably a lot of things that have been building up with Neville. And this is where we're at this point.
Yeah, and again, it's like, it all boils down to money, it all boils down to respect. And, I mean, Neville basically put that division on his back and carried it for 9 months. And was the focus of that division for 9 months. And to kind of get paid back like that is a little crappy.
Now, let's conspiracy theory this thing, right?
Okay.
Let's go back to WrestleMania.
Okay.
The Cruiserweight match is not on the DVD. Why is the Cruiserweight match not on the DVD?
Because it was a pre-show.
And why was it on the, why was it on the main show?
Because peoples on the internet got a little pissed that the girls weren't on the pre-show. Because wasn't the Cruiserweight match originally on the main show?
And that got taken off.
It got moved because people complained about the women's match being on the pre-show and wanted it on the main show. And so the Cruiserweights got moved.
Along with Dean Ambrose.
Along with Dean Ambrose.
Both of which matches were not on the DVD, by the way. But Dean's
on TV every week, and he does house shows, so I think he's not hurting for cash.
That's the difference, yeah. I was trying to make that point, yeah. Anyway, and the Battle Royal. But that's not the point. Because DVDs only have a certain amount of room, and that's why. Since WrestleMania itself was almost 5 hours, you really can't have it, you know, when it's trying to stick to two DVDs for it, yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
That's beside the point. It just is what happens when you make decisions. One thing goes one way, the other thing goes another.
I mean, I would hope that Neville and WWE can work it out. There's a lot of, like, rumors flying about that Neville's leaving and he's going to go back to UK. He's going to go back to Japan. I know both of them would love to get a hold of him if he makes that decision and he does leave. But for right now, I think he is still under contract and I'm believe they're trying to work it out, although it may just be something that it's, look, you have so much time left on your deal, why don't you just opt not to re-sign and then we let you out of it at the end of your deal?
Depends how much time's left on this deal.
When did he come up?
It was in April or May.
Of last year?
A couple years ago.
He's got to be close.
He may have 6 months to a year.
I mean, that's nothing. I mean, and it could be they're like, okay, we need you to sit out 6 months and then we'll kind of sort of let you go quietly sort of thing.
Go ahead.
Because at least he's picked a good time to do this. I don't know.
Is there ever a good time?
Well, there are more opportune times than others. Kind of like what somebody else did, who's going to remain nameless, that did it like 2 months before WrestleMania.
So I have a question. Are we going to have Neville chance like we have other guy chance?
I don't think so, but I would love it if that happened.
Neville doesn't ring as other guy. Doesn't have the same ring to it.
Adrian. Yo, Adrian!
But they got rid of the name Adrian. We could do We Want Neville.
We Want Neville. That works.
So there was another part to this.
Oh my god. Yes. So the other side of this, or the other part of this, I should say, that kind of coincides but kind of doesn't coincide, is that it was quasi-announced, quasi-leaked, that one, Jimmy Jacobs is no longer employed with WWE, that he was let go as a producer / writer recently. I think it was this past week. And again, there is a lot of speculation and a lot of rumor that's going on as to why he was let go, but it's seemingly pinpointed on the fact that he took a picture with a certain group of guys who were at a TV show recently, who were filming a YouTube series that WWE does not like, and he puts that picture out on the internet, and, well, supposedly WWE took exception, and that's the reason he was fired. If that's the actual reason he was fired, y'all need to get over yourselves right now.
Them hashtags, yo. Them hashtags. That social media will bite you in the ass all the time.
I mean, that's just petty. If that's true, which we don't know if it is, it's seemingly true because Jimmy Jacobs has already put out a t-shirt mocking it with the headline, where basically it's like a newspaper clipping and it says unprofessional on it. Mm-hmm. So it seems to be fairly accurate. I think that's a little ridiculous. Like, even from WWE, that's a little ridiculous.
There's also the stories that it was the straw that broke the camel's back. When Vince McMahon, sort of, you fall out of favor with Vince McMahon, things like this could happen, and everything like that. Also, he's a producer. There's a lot of people talk about how Kevin Owens and AJ Styles and Sami Zayn, they've been on the being the Elite series. They are talent. Jimmy Jacobs is not a talent. He's a producer. As a producer, you're not supposed to do things to put yourself over. Your job is to get everyone else over. And he was putting himself over, as well as the Young Bucks.
Well, but he's appeared on TV before. Like, he's shown up here and there.
But he's
and
not,
he's been name dropped here and there.
But he's not, you know. But that that's not that. There's two different points to that.
Oh, I know, and I get it. Like, I completely get it. But it's just, it's, if you're going to let somebody go, it's like, okay, so say the picture was the straw that broke the camel's back. There are ways to get rid of someone that don't point to that, where it's basically like, look, we don't feel that you're living up to your job performance, or where you've noticed.
Anyway.
Oh, that was a pretty interception. Anyway. And there are flags everywhere.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't look good. Anyway, continue your point.
Cam Newton is not having a good night. Anyway, to continue my point, there are other ways to let somebody go without pointing at a picture. But then again, we weren't in the room. We don't know what was said. And here's the thing. He's held under a different standard than talent. He's not under contract. He's an employee of the company. So it's, hey, look, you know, he may have had poor job reviews. He may have not been living up to his potential. He may not have been making his manager happy. Who knows? But if the picture is the legit reason, that's stupid.
Austin Aries, be careful who you take photos with. It's a dangerous world out there.
Austin, honey, stop.
Hashtag Thursday thoughts.
He's such a dick. I love him so much.
And that was pass interference, by the way.
Oh, that was pass interference?
Mm-hmm. So interception didn't count.
Ooh, Cam Newton got lucky on that one.
You did. Anyway.
But yeah, so I'm sad to see Jimmy Jacobs go. We'll have to see if that changes, if he gets reinstated, what happens. And we'll have to see what happens with Neville, too. There's much drama this week in WWE, which we all love. So thank you, Neville. Thank you, Jimmy Jacobs, for that. Ding. Not really.
Gave us something to talk about.
It gave us something to talk about on this show. Thanks, guys.
We appreciate you.
Also, to other people that were off the road that we should just bring up real quick, and we're not at Raw this past week, but as far as we know, we're still gainfully employed, were Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas. Bo was absent from Raw.
You got that incorrect. Bo Dallas and Sister Abigail were not on the road this weekend.
Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas were not at Raw. They were not on the road. We are not talking about Sister Abigail right now. We are saving that for TLC.
Next week, right here on the rack.
Y'all want to hear me go off? Oh, you're going to hear me go off. I have concerns. I have many concerns. Y'all have been warned. But no, so there is no reason that's been released as to why they were not there. Everybody's pretty much figuring it was like a family thing that they had to go to. And that's why they were absent. So hopefully they will be back next week. Or this
week. Coming weekend.
Tomorrow. We'll see. Injury roundup?
Yeah. No, let's do Dancing with the Bella first.
Dancing with the Bella.
It is this week's Dancing with the Bella update. Nikki Bella still tied with Drew Scott with 104 points, tied for 7th place. That was this week's Dancing with the Bella update presented by The Rack Extra, Total Bellas, heard weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All right, go Nikki. Still alive.
Still
Drew Scott. He's still alive.
They're still alive.
So, couple quick any notes, or do you want to do injury roundup?
We can do injury roundup.
Okay, now let's do the injury roundup.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
We'll get more into this one when we talk about Hell in a Cell a little bit later in the show. But Shane McMahon for throwing himself off a 20-foot cell.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And low-key?
Hashtag blame Brent.
Reportedly has a torn ACL. Not fully confirmed, but that is the story going around.
Okay. Well, feel better, both of you.
Shane McMahon's sore. His injury diagnosis is he's sore.
Himself off a 20-foot cell. We'll discuss that later.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was going to say, just a couple quick indie notes. House of Hardcore is coming to Twitch.
Yeah, all their events will be streaming live on Twitch. They have a Twitch channel now. I did not see the actual name of it, but you could probably search Tommy Dreamer on the Twitters to get the official name of it. But they will also be bringing weekly content from House of Hardcore to Twitch. Tommy was not sure which day, but official details will be released here in the coming days, but Twitch and Tommy Dreamer have made a partnership. He announced it on Twitter and Facebook the other day. He officially announced the partnership along with our buddy Michael Kingston over this weekend when they were at the New York Comic Con.
Go, Michael! He's taking off, man.
Mm-hmm. It's because he was at his booth, so they announced it there or something, or in the panel they did something to that effect.
Yeah.
So, awesome stuff.
Awesome stuff. Also, a quick note, the next season of MTV's The Challenge will have some pro wrestling representation. It was announced that The Miz would be the host of The Challenge, Champs vs. Stars, which will run for 8 weeks and premieres on November 21st. The cast is composed of people from past seasons of the show, going against other celebrities. Ariana Andre, who was Cameron in WWE, is one of the celebrities on the cast. And UFC's Michelle Waterson is another celebrity, so
along
yay.
Along with Terrell Owens.
T.O.
T.O., baby. That's my quarterback, man. Anyway, yeah, should be cool. It's just like CM Punk did in a serious a challenge. Now Cameron is going to be a part of it as well. But The Miz is back on The Challenge in some fashion. He was back doing wrap-ups a few months ago for one of the seasons. But now, officially, he's an actual host. They're probably they filmed it out in Los Angeles, and yeah, so there you go.
Go Cameron, go.
Mm-hmm.
Go Miz, go. And let's hope Cameron's a little bit more fun than CM Punk was.
Right.
Anyway, moving on, last but certainly not least, there's some exciting news coming out from Impact Wrestling and Anthem, and that is that the GNW, the Global Wrestling Network, has officially launched. It is live, y'all.
Anthem Sports and Entertainment, the parent company of Impact Wrestling, announced today the launch of the Global Wrestling Network, a multi-platform digital service designed to give the fans around the world instant 24 access to the extensive Impact Wrestling library, including every classic pay-per-view event, groundbreaking original series, reality shows, documentaries, exclusive events, and cards from international promotions and partners, classic content from old territories, over 1,000 hours of original programming, plus the ability to purchase premium live pay-per-view events. It'll be available for $7.99. You get a 30-day free trial. It'll be available for iOS and Android, and coming soon to Roku, Xbox, Amazon Fire, and smart TVs. There was talk about you can go to youtube.com/RackRadioShow right now, and there is the Impact Wrestling teleconference with Josh Matthews. And in the press teleconference, he mentioned something about live pay-per-views. That is not sure when it'll be available. They're hoping it will air on the app. Whether it's live or delay, they can't say at this point. They're working on it, as I spoke to sources inside Impact Wrestling for that information.
He got very fancy.
I was an investigative reporter. I put on my journalism hat and did some reporting. So there you go.
We're very proud of you. Well done.
I was productive. Also, you can hear from Gail Kim right now on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/RackRadioShow. She talks all about her retirement and more in this week's Impact Wrestling teleconference. Both parts available on youtube.com/RackRadioShow.
Hey.
Subscribe, because there's a lot of content coming, because the pretty is sitting right here next to me.
Yes, he really wants to play with his thing.
It's so pretty.
And on that note, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So our main event of the show, because I like to start with the main event because usually the best match on the show, was Andrade Cien Almas and Johnny Gargano. Thoughts?
This was really, really good. Enjoyed it thoroughly. I mean, they had every bit the good match that they did the last time. I felt like this was obviously a little bit better because they felt each other out a little bit more. They're more familiar with each other. Selena Vega played much more of a factor in this match, I felt like, than she did the last one. Mm-hmm. Because, again, there were mind games from her to Johnny Gargano.
She decided to take her off her jacket and, well, revealed herself to him. Okay, revealed a DIY shirt. But still, it's cool. I liked it.
It was cool.
Good match. Andrade Cien Almas got the win. Not good for my fantasy team, but
I don't even know who's on my fantasy team.
You have Andrade Cien Almas.
All right!
That did not help my fantasy team. It helped yours. Our fantasy teams are not doing so well at the moment.
I'm holding down last place, confidently.
You can confidently say you are holding down last place.
In spectacular fashion. I'm living up to last season's expectations. Well, you know, it's like when we play Cards Against Humanity. Once I win, I don't have to try anymore. I won the very first time. I blew all y'all out of the water. I don't have to try anymore. I just have to show up.
And usually you make a last minute comeback at the end.
Generally.
Yeah, so it's early. Lars Sullivan was in action. He took on Danny Burch. It was a squash.
I do not need them to talk about how big his head and his hands are, because that just sends up my, like, brain into a place where it does not need to go. And really, really bad comments generally come forth when that happens. So if the commentary team could not discuss that, that would be fantastic. Because otherwise, I'm going to be sitting there making nasty jokes the entire time. He can attest to it.
Yeah.
He's heard them.
Yep. With the 3 minutes of action that there was, Velveteen Dream versus Leo Rush was good. Velveteen Dream ended up beating Leo Rush after he attacked him last week, so this was the revenge. I thought Leo Rush looked pretty solid in his debut.
I want to see more of Leo Rush. He looks really, really, really freaking awesome, and I can't wait to see more of him. Again, this whole Velveteen Dream, Aleister Black feud, it's very intriguing. I have concerns, but it's very intriguing.
There are many concerns.
There are a lot of concerns.
He, after the win, he mocked Aleister Black and said, "Say my name. Say my name." So, there's that. We'll see where it goes. I don't know. Not the huge fan of the Velveteen Dream. Like, not at all, but we'll see.
If they do this in a serious fashion of what they're doing between Aleister and Dream, I think I'm okay with it. But if they just do it as this really outlandish, not serious gimmick, it's kind of like, I don't know if it really fits. I don't know if it really works. And that's just me personally. Like, if you know who I like in wrestling, I like outlandish. I like freaky. I like crazy. You know, just look at my interests. You'll figure it out. For me, this is just a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like he just needs to pull it back. Just like a scotch.
Scotch?
Just a scotch back. And then he'd be good. But it's like, the feud between Aleister and Dream is growing on me.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that. Like, I like how they're playing it. I like how Aleister is kind of being that constant. And that's good. And I'm genuinely looking forward to their match, because I want to see how they mix with each other.
And then there was Peyton Royce, Liv Morgan, and Nikki Cross in jeans.
Scottish wifey.
In a triple threat match for to be a part of the Fatal 4-Way at NXT TakeOver Houston. The match was solid. Peyton Royce got the win. We saw Conti. What was her first name? Tynara?
Tynara Conti.
Tynara Conti. She came down during the matchup to interfere on the behalf of the Undisputed Era. I don't think she's a part of it. I think she was just sort of coerced by them.
I kind of feel like she's not a good fit.
I think they were just using her.
I think they were just using her, but honestly, if you're going to stick a woman in with Undisputed Era, for the love of God, use Bianca Belair. She's got the swag, she's got the attitude, she's got everything to fit in with those boys.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that.
She's got the attitude.
Yeah, but for what they're doing, I don't think she works for them.
But I like her better than Tanara.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but...
Because Tanara went down to the ring, she tried to beat up Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross looked at her like she was going to kill her, and Tanara realized that she just made the worst mistake in her life.
This is pretty much true.
That's, like, accuracy.
Yeah.
But that was NXT?
That was NXT in a nutshell. Solid show.
Very solid show. We're building to Houston. I'm really liking the women's feud, and I'm, like I said, I'm digging Aleister and Dream. In terms of the title, we're still kind of settling, or the main title, we're still kind of settling that out, but Adam Cole and the boys are right there putting pressure, so we'll see how that goes.
And they're busy messing with Sanity as well, so we'll see.
We'll see. So I say we take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week, SmackDown Throwdown, and we're talking all about Hell in a Cell. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Rack Extra gets a little Bella in the form of Total Bellas. Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
I feel like I'm trapped, like feeling of living in a padded cell.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
What is the greatest N64 video game of all time? CB Radio has decided. It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard every Saturday night midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins, and you're listening to the Rat Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Or to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey to date, Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. Get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightPoop.com because we love them and they're awesome and you will too. And, well, you missed the news. You missed NXT, but you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, I don't have a lot this week because it's been a very busy week at work. So, Eliza tweets Kevin Owens and says, "Your ass got saved Sunday night. Best believe when Shane O'Mac comes back, it's going to be the end of your Kevin Owens." And Kevin Owens replies, "My Kevin Owens will never end." Drew Gulak, "The logging industry, where trees are sustainable, is vital to the future of our culture. I can't wait for the lumberjack match. Raw." To which he follows up, "Well, that was not at all what I thought it was going to be. Hashtag arboreal awareness." Bless him. Bless him. I kind of wish they would get this on TV more. Like, I really do. I need more Drew Gulak in my life.
Their actual personalities?
I mean, I do, because some of them have really good characters, and it's like, I wish they would get this on TV, because it's hilarious. Like, he just needs to be walking around Raw with his no-fly zone sign and be like, "No chance, no-fly zone!" But they just, like, confine him to 205 Live, and it's so sad. He needs to be on Raw more. Give me more Drew Gulak, damn it.
Or you could start watching 205 Live on the regular.
Can't they just put him on Raw? Wouldn't that be easier? You're not even going to answer that? You're just not even going to dignify that with an answer? Fine. That's all I have. Go. Oh, and he's going to leave me. He's just going to utterly abandon me. He's just going to sit there in silence. Because basically, I rejected his idea and suggested that they just put Mr. Gulak on Raw because that would be, like, way better. And personally, I think it would improve Raw. Right? Maybe? He's just abandoned me. I'm just sitting here rambling because he's abandoned me. I don't even get a BRB. He's just gone. So anyway, everybody out there in Twitter lands, in radio lands, everybody listening that can hear me by myself. This is why I don't do this show by myself.
You're not by yourself. I was taking a drink of water and you caught me at the worst time of drinking.
That is the longest drink of water ever.
Well, it was Thursday. What do you want from me?
Would you do drink an entire bottle?
I drank 90% of one, yeah. Anyway, let's see. Someone named Amanda goes, "So after watching Nia's IG video, Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, Mike Rome, who is the better driver out of you three, and who is the worst?" Nia goes, "Alexa Bliss is the worst driver." Alexa goes, "I'm not the worst. I'm the slowest driver. Big difference." Nia, "Driving down the wrong side of the road equals worst driver. Apparently their IG stories are good."
I need to go watch their IG stories.
Apparently we do. Ruben Frank, "My story about the first quarter. The Eagles have 21 points. The Cards have 21 yards. Oh, there's a video I need to show you. Braun Strowman strumming a guitar.
Okay. I've seen it.
Okay. WWE Creative-ish. "We won't stop until a New Day and Usos fight in every gimmick match there is. Next month, it'll be a bra and panties match. So fair warning." Peter Alexander Flag, "Was Pence leaving Colts game a political stunt? Reporters say, we're told, stay in the van because there was maybe an early departure from the game." Yep, that was a thing.
That was totally a thing.
Someone named Chris, why are all you guys wearing black ribbons on the Fall Brawl 1999 pay-per-view, said Tony Schiavone, asking Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone replied, "In honor of the upcoming death of the company." Someone tweets Rusev, for what looking like an overweight rugby player, if you're on the cover, it will be a shame and a wrong direction for the company to go in. Rusev, thank you for looking after the company. But overweight is spelled like I just did. Hashtag Rusev Day for free education. The dude spelled it with two words. It's one word.
Fair enough.
A look inside Dak Prescott's phone after, you know, losing to Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. Eli Manning, at least you won an actual game this year. Carson Wentz, how about them Cowboys? Ezekiel Elliott. We need to play defense, too. Tony Romo. Nice pick six. Taught you well. Aaron Rodgers. Oops, I did it again.
Dude, that game between the Cowboys and the Packers where Rodgers just, like, stepped up. I was like, nope, we're not kicking a field goal to end this. Oh, no. We're going for the TD. It just was...
Everything.
I mean, honestly, I know people hate Aaron Rodgers. I know people love Aaron Rodgers. But honestly, after that, on top of everything else he's done, you can't argue he's one of the best in the league. You really can't.
No, you really can't.
I mean, God, that was a spectacular finish.
It really, really was. Fake job, Madden. In the spirit of tonight's Star Wars trailer, Vikings quarterbacks are as accurate as the Stormtrooper.
True. Very true.
Becky Lynch, I've gone my whole life without eating fish. I just accidentally ate a piece without knowing. Yep, I was right all along. Disgusting. Someone replies, shrimp is good though. That's what it was. So I know you're lying to me. Disgusting.
Becky, my girl. We have so much in common. We must discuss.
I have tweets from Trump.
Why?
Football Trump. It's a parody account. Fake news is at it again, saying the Kansas City Chiefs are undefeated. I've beaten both Alex Smith and Kelsey at Words with Friends 9 times each. Impressive football, Trump. It would be really nice if the fake news media would report my 27-point fantasy football win over Obama in Week 5. No coverage. Bailey tweets The Rock. New purchase at The Rock. And it's a pillow with his face on it. Dwayne goes, I knew you had immaculate taste, champ. Stay safe on the road. Keep kicking ass. And don't let Roman steal it. George Takei, so I hear Trump wants to challenge Eminem to a freestyle rap-off. I imagine it will go as well as an IQ matchup with Rex Tillerson. Lance Storm, if they put this on pay-per-view, it would make enough money to pay for his wall.
Doubt it.
Anyway, that's Tweet of the Week.
That's Tweet of the Week. Alright, let's talk about Hell in a Cell.
Let's do Hell in a Cell, because, okay, let's sum up Hell in a Cell in this way. Two really good matches. A solid match, and everything else was just there.
Pretty much. I mean, the two cell matches, which bookended the pay-per-view...
were fantastic.
Were fantastic. They absolutely delivered, which is what you want in a Hell in a Cell match. And I think the winner of the night is actually the tag team match. Because everybody was like, oh god, they're doing a tag team match in the cell. Oh, this is going to be terrible. Dude, they went out there, and they're like... And they just kicked the crap out of each other. I mean, we had kendo sticks. We had chairs. We had a table, I think, at one point. We had trombones.
No table.
No table, okay.
Fans wanted table.
Okay, all right. So we had kendo sticks. We had chairs. We had trombones. We had stairs. We had handcuffs.
You're missing things.
What am I missing?
We had a gong.
That's right. We had a gong.
And a cowbell.
And, well, right, because every cow in the cell needs cowbell.
More cowbell. And the kendo sticks, not only were they normal kendo sticks, there were a couple wrapped in, like, colors.
They were fruit stripe kendo sticks.
Yeah. Okay. I'll explain like this. The two Hell in a Cell matches, as a terms of a match, this was the better match. In terms of drama, the main event was had more drama.
Yeah, but this was more surprising. Like, I think everybody figured the main event was going to be good, but I think a lot of people were... dreading this one because it's like, oh god, it's like I said, it's a tag team match in the cell, and the last time we had that, it wasn't very good.
And yeah,
so it's this match delivered on a lot more levels than I think people thought it would, because again, they got violent. I mean, there was at one point where they pinned one of the New Day pinned one of the Usos down in the corner of the cell, and they pushed kendo sticks into the chain link to hold him in place. I mean. And then at one point, Xavier Woods got chained to the ring post, and they just, like, beat him with a kendo stick.
My only problem with that, they let him go.
Well, they have to.
No, they don't. Why would you let your opponent go if he's trapped on a thing that you mean to be 2-on-1 with Big E? Logic.
Do you really want to be 2-on-1 with Big E?
The Usos?
Do you want to be 1-on-1 with Big E?
I'd rather be 2-on-1 rather than 1-on-1.
Kinky. My only criticism about this match is how did Big E get out of the handcuffs?
You could see one was still hanging on his wrist. He was attached to the rope, so he muscled out of it.
Was he?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
If you go back and you look at the match, if you watch the match, they never actually officially cuffed him to the rope. And you see the ref, like, by him, messing with the handcuffs, so either the ref cuffed him to the rope, or the ref was giving him the key. But you can actually see where they did that if you go back and watch that match. That's my only criticism of that, is you see them, like, put the handcuff on Big E, and then they just, like, lay it under the rope, and they try to cover it up a little bit.
See, I thought the handcuff was still on his wrist, no?
I don't remember seeing it on his wrist.
I thought it was.
I'd have to go back and watch it again.
See, that's what I thought. Okay. That makes more sense then.
There was a little inconsistency with that, but other than that, everything else in that match was just, like, perfect.
Doing some Googling as we do this.
Yes.
I'm looking for pictures. Anyway, I enjoyed the crap out of this matchup. There are a couple of dangerous spots, like Big E's spear and the backbreaker spot.
Oh god, that was sick.
But overall, really hot opener, and the Usos picked up the win, and they're the new tag team champions. Why, I don't know, but they are.
Well, because other things are coming that we're going to talk about when we do SmackDown.
I suppose so. To mention the pre-show, Benjamin and Gable beat the Hype Bros. No one really cared.
Yeah, pretty much.
Randy Orton and Rusev did a matchup that lasted 100 times longer than their previous matchups combined.
I don't know why.
Well, the previous matchups were 3 in like 9 seconds.
I know, but why?
I mean, it was okay.
To me, it wasn't anything to write home about. It was just kind of there. I think Randy's sort of just like, yeah, I'm just waiting till they turn me heel again. And that's how he's sort of like just handling this, you know?
They had a professional wrestling matchup that was very professional with a cool ending.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Orton did his pounding. He got caught into the accolade. Orton escaped RKO. What were you saying?
I just want to find the pictures from the freaking Hell in a Cell match. Can I get the pictures from the Hell in a Cell match?
I saw the pictures from the Hell in a Cell match. They don't show his right hand.
God damn it.
I went through them all. They don't show his right hand.
Well, give me the link.
Hold the phone. Eagles touchdown. How about them Cowboys? Anyway, or how about them Panthers?
Cam Newton is not having a good night, y'all. Anyway, up next, as he goes silent again, we're going to talk about Baron Corbin taking on and AJ Styles and Ty Dillinger, because there were 3 of them. Baron or Ty got added last minute on the pre-show because he had beaten Baron Corbin, and so therefore he felt he deserved a shot at the U.S. Championship. So it became from a 2-way to a 3-way.
Mm-hmm.
This was a solid contest.
Corbin is very boring on offense.
They need to get Corbin some damn hair plugs. I'm sorry, I don't mean to insult him, but here's the thing. You have, like, an epidemic of bald spots in WWE. I'm not even kidding.
An epidemic of bald spots.
It's an epidemic! Look at all their top stars! Almost all of them have bald spots!
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe me? Watch. Pay really close attention. They all have the really unfortunate bald spot right on the crown of their head. Like, even Cena's got it.
Yeah, when Cena grows out his hair, it's not pretty.
Yeah, it's kind of evident. But anyway, it's just Corbin. Oh, God, Corbin's hair is so bad. It's so bad. I want to fix it. I just want to, like, hold him down and sew extensions to his head just to help him, because it's like his hair is so thin. It's so thin.
Yeah, it is.
That when he wets it down, it just looks terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, honey, it's really hard to take you seriously with your hair looking like that.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you put the girls through all this rigmarole of they have to have extensions, and they have to do makeup, and they have to do this. Can they not get the wrestlers, the male wrestlers, like Hair Club for Men, or Rogaine, or something?
They did one time back in the day. Howard Finkel got hair plugs and Rogaine or whatever. It was Hair Club for Men, and they did a whole big spot of it where he was wearing a toupee.
I don't think it took.
No, it got pulled off at one point at an angle.
But you get what I'm talking about. It's just Baron Corbin's hair is just so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's so bad. But anyway, the match itself was good.
It was okay.
Once you got Baron out of it.
Yeah, once you get Baron out of it, yeah.
Baron is good for defense. He's good for smashing things. He's good for throwing people around. And in that aspect, he was perfect in this match. But when it was Ty and AJ, they made sure to get Baron out of it. So that way those two could be a feature. I thought Ty and Baron did okay together.
But I don't need to see it again.
And then AJ and Baron was okay. I may want to see it again. I don't know.
We saw it on Tuesday.
I know.
It was okay.
It was all right. It was there. I mean, it was a solid job. They did a good job. It was a decent match. I mean, honestly, it didn't... And I hate to say this, but it really didn't leave that much of an impression on me.
Yeah, it was just there.
It was just there.
Baron Corbin still a win and is now the U.S. champion.
Go, Baron, go.
One thing we need to mention before we move on. Coming in WWE 2K18, Kurt Angle Sanders?
Yes. Yes, you can create your own Kurt Angle Sanders.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Because the Colonel Sanders outfit is...
in the game.
In the game. So you can create any WWE superstar as Colonel Sanders. I want Colonel Sanders Wyatt.
Well, if you would let me play with my thing.
You can't play with your thing on air. We discussed this.
Anyway.
It has to get warmed up, and then once it gets warmed up, you can shoot your load.
Reasons. Nice. Things. There. Women's title, Natalya and Charlotte.
This is okay. Yeah. Charlotte did a really nice job of selling the knee.
Very nice job of selling the knee.
I feel like this wasn't one of their better confrontations. Like, they've had better. And that's the hard thing with these two, is when they've had just simply the series of matches that they've had.
They don't let them do the NXT match.
No, they don't. They don't let them, like, turn it up to fourth gear and just really go and show what they can do, which is a shame.
Or the roadblock match.
Yeah, the roadblock match. Where they let them go.
When it's a legitimate matchup, they always come up with a convoluted finish because they want to continue. They want to give us more of the match. So that to do the show, they have to give us the convoluted finish. Charlotte sold a knee the most of the matchup, goes outside, does a moonsault, hits it. Natty's up first, whacks her with a chair, in a knee, gets disqualified. Left people very underwhelmed.
And one criticism on the moonsault, because if you actually watch it, Natty was a little bit out of place and doesn't catch Charlotte. So there was that. And yeah, I mean, just overall, it wasn't my favorite match that they've ever had, but it was still very good.
Yeah, the match was good. This was like, out of everything, this was the third best match.
Mm-hmm, agreed.
Charlotte wins and Natty retains. Fashion Files.
They're back!
First cool thing, the Ascension were listed as co-stars in this one.
They are officially on the show!
And they just want to be friends with... To be.
They're really trying to bludgeon that in, aren't they?
Yes. Yes, they are.
We'll get there.
I don't want to talk about... The Fashion Files was funny. And we were supposed to get it on Tuesday. We didn't get it on Tuesday.
That's okay. We got something better on Tuesday.
You know what wasn't better?
Hmm.
The WWE Championship match.
Mm.
Jinder and Shinsuke. There are no words for this match. It wasn't any good. Jinder's not very talented. And it's every Jinder match you've seen is not very good. It goes on too long, and the opponent he's fighting does not look good in the match. That sum that up?
I really wouldn't say it's not that Jinder's not talented, because I feel like Jinder is talented. What I feel like is there is no chemistry here. There's none. Zero. There's no spark between the two. Which, that's fine. That happens. There's just some people you gel with and some people you don't. But it's like, this was just
awful.
Okay. Like, this was a SmackDown match. That's exactly what this was. And that's not meant to be a negative criticism. It's just that's really what it was. They never turned it up. They never hit fourth gear.
Or third or second. It was a 9 p.m. SmackDown match.
I mean, honestly, it's like, I know what Shinsuke can do. And it's really a genuine shame that they are not letting Shinsuke do what he's capable of doing. And I don't know if they're saving that for someone special, or if it's just like the fear that he's going to hurt himself or something. I don't know. But it's like, y'all need to let Shinsuke turn it up.
We saw with Cena. He worked really well with Cena.
He worked very well with Cena. Because I think Cena was willing to work with him and also just meshed with his style really well. Jinder and Shinsuke's styles kind of clashed a little bit, and that didn't help matters.
Shinsuke worked well with Randy.
Yes, he did.
Just pointing out the talent that he's worked with that. Anyway, Jinder's still your champion.
Side note, Jinder also looked a little smaller on this pay-per-view.
He did. Cleanish win.
Yeah.
Bobby Roode, Dolph Ziggler? It was there.
It was there. I'm so tired of Dolph. Again, I really hate being negative, but it's just like there was a lot on this pay-per-view where it's just like, oh.
Talented performers in the wrong spots.
Bobby was glorious. Dolph came out to no entrance, so he pulled the R-Truth from a couple years ago. And this was just, again, this was another one that just never went to the next level. they just never took it there. And I guess because it's the first match in the series and they're going to have more, that they're building to see what Dolph can do, in quotations. There was a spot at the end where they did a series of roll-ups of grabbing the tights. Things I didn't know I needed to know are that Bobby Roode doesn't have tan lines, Dolph Ziggler does. And we almost got the whole freaking show from Dolph Ziggler, because, you know, there was some crack going on. There was a lot of crack going on in that match. But yeah, I mean, this was okay. This really wasn't anything to write home about. Again, it was just, it's like, and I guess because I am so tired of Dolph, I'm so tired of this gimmick, because it just gets on my nerves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That it's just like, I'm done with it.
Dolph Ziggler had bad matches with Baron Corbin. He had bad matches with Shinsuke. Now he had a bad match with Bobby Roode. What's the deal? What's the common denominator in it? It's Dolph Ziggler. He doesn't care right now. You can see it.
You can tell.
He's just phoning it in until the end.
Which is real shame because he's a talented wrestler. He's really very good at what he does.
But they were also not put in a position to succeed. They were the buffer match. They were what used to be the women's match.
Oh, I know.
That's the way this went. I want to know how this got Roode over. Roode won with a handful of tights, then they got laid out. How did this get Bobby Roode over? This is his first pay-per-view win. This was not a very good match. It did no favors for Bobby Roode, when the whole point is should be getting Bobby Roode over, not Dolph Ziggler over. And it feels like we're trying to get Dolph Ziggler over, just like we're trying to get Dolph Ziggler over against Shinsuke Nakamura and not get Shinsuke over. Bobby Roode and Shinsuke are new on the roster. They should be the ones put over and not have Dolph Ziggler try to get all his stuff in. That sum that up?
Pretty much.
Okay.
So, up next, the second match of the night, your main event, Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon in a Falls Count Anywhere Hell in a Cell, and holy crap, was this match with everything we could want and more.
1 foot in, and then we were out. In? Maybe? That's really close. Can't tell on the pylon cam. Is he in? By the way, football update. Cam Newton's trying to be Superman.
And he's failing.
And fly into the end zone. Anyway, so they fight outside the cell. Then Kevin's like, I'm tired of fighting Shane. So he goes inside and tries to hold himself, you know, in the cage. And then they fight, and Kevin Owens beats on Shane McMahon. And he's then mocking Shane and doing it in front of his kids. One of his kids laughed. Not always the best thing you want to see when you're trying to make this, you know, hard sell it. But it is what it is. And then this 47-year-old man, I think he's 47, right?
Mm-hmm.
Goes to the top rope and misses a shooting star press.
Bless him.
Just saying. What was a really cool spot was the pop-up powerbomb into the triangle choke. That was a nice counter by Shane McMahon.
Yeah, it was.
And then Kevin fans are chanting for Weevil and Table. Kevin brings out a table, lines it up against the cell, and does a diving cannonball. Shane move, and Kevin went hard through a table for a two count. Shane, what was unique, Shane used the table as a weapon, which was clever.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shane McMahon got a trash can. What does Shane McMahon always do with a trash can?
He does the coast-to-coast with it.
And he went coast-to-coast on Kevin Owens. And then Shane McMahon has a look in his eye. He glances upward. Should I go out? Or should I not go out? We're all saying, Shane, don't do anything stupid. So he does something stupid. He had the match of the night right here. It's not even New Day versus Usos. It's not even New Day is Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens. Match of the night is Shane McMahon versus The Lock. He could not use the bolt cutter to get out of the cage. He tried so hard to bust that lock, and it would not budge. You know?
Yeah.
It's like he had the hardest time. They had a cutaway for him to break it open. So he finally gets out. They fight outside. He gets DDT'd on the diamond plate. Shane's nuts get destroyed, like they always do. And then we walk all the way around the cell. We go onto the announce table. Shane's laid out. I guess I have to... Carolina scored. it's 2022, could be 2023 by the end of this. So Kevin sees Shane McMahon down on the announce table, and then he has a look as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he climbs up the cell. We're all going, oh God, Kevin, please don't die, Kevin, please don't die. And then in the best piece of storytelling is he hesitates and he questions himself whether he should do the one thing he said he wouldn't do, and that's jump off the cell. So, as he hesitates, Shane climbs up the cell. Shane just dangling up there. And then they fight on top of the cell, and we're both sitting here going, oh God, please don't break Cage, please hold up, please. Please, no one fall, please, for the love of God, no one fall. And they did some spots on top of the cell. They did 3 attempts at the pop-up powerbomb, and they finally got the spot. Kevin was like, screw it, I'm leaving now, I'm tired of, you know, doing it, because they were doing fake tosses off the cage. Kevin gets caught on the side, Shane climbs down, Shane knocks him off, he goes through the table. Shane goes for a pin, but pulls him up, puts him... DMTs are out at this point. Shane then puts him on the announce table. Shane clears up, put Kevin on it, and climbs back up the cell. And at this point, we're all scared for our life. It's like Shane McMahon's going back up. And then Shane McMahon dives, misses the elbow drop. But why did he miss the elbow drop, Lindsay?
Because somebody helped Kevin Owens. Somebody we didn't necessarily expect, except for Rock.
Hi. Listen to the show every Thursday night. I tell you things.
Because he's a mole.
Or I just know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Sami Zayn saved Kevin Owens. And then EMTs are checking on Shane. And Sami puts Kevin on top of Shane for the 1, 2, 3. Fantastic finish. Great match. Great storytelling. And great turn by Sami Zayn.
This was wonderful. This was everything I could ask for and more. I love that they didn't do the traditional heel turn with Sami. That Sami's heel turn is literally that he helps Kevin. He does what he's always done. He's the same adorable guy that we all know and love. But in the end, he goes back to Kevin and he helps Kevin. And that... The payoff for this was he got tired of never getting anywhere by doing the right thing. It's not the fault of the fans. It's not the fault of anyone else. It's
Shane's fault.
It's Shane's fault to an extent, but Shane is indirectly blamed. It's more Kevin is, you know, I've been the good guy. I've tried to do right by everybody. I've tried to be everybody's friend. And where has it gotten me? It's gotten me sitting on the sidelines while Kevin Owens wins titles. Kevin Owens gets to go to WrestleMania. Kevin Owens gets to do this. Kevin Owens gets to do that. And I'm stuck on the sidelines. And Sammy's done. He's tired of it. And so now he's going to take his place. And it's all thanks to Kevin that he's going to do this. Because Kevin opened his eyes to the fact that, hey, look, you need to think twice about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not getting anywhere. You're not going anywhere. And you're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
They're never going to know your name if you're always the good guy. So I really enjoyed that. I love that little twist at the end where they had Sami save Kevin. Because everybody was like, what? And just, if you watch how well they timed that spot. I've seen that spot isolated so many times. But it's like, you see Sami looking up. And the second that you know... Or the second you see Sami bolt for Kevin, you know Shane's in the air. Like, he's already jumped because you see Sami grab Kevin and, like, probably a split second later, Shane hits the table. I mean, it was just so perfectly timed and perfectly done that I have to applaud them for that. I mean, that whole match. And I love that they got 30 minutes for this.
39 minutes.
39 minutes. Like, I love that they got to take their time and tell the story and build to that crescendo, because it's like, when you saw that the second cell was going last, it's like, okay, somebody's doing something stupid.
But they built to something stupid.
But they built to the something stupid, and it was like, we all know it's Shane. We all know he's going to jump off the top, because that's what Shane McMahon does, is he jumps off very tall things, despite his family's warnings not to.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, it wasn't a meaningless something stupid. It had impact. It played a part in the story. Which is which unlike the one with The Undertaker, where it was just him diving to dive, this had a meaning.
Right.
I thought it was really good. 8-Ball went 2-6, I went 4-4, you went 5-3, and congratulations, Sheila, for winning a copy of Second Nature. The books are in the mail for Sheila and Tommy C.
Way to go, guys. Way to go. Congratulations.
Overall, again, two really good matches, couple solids. That's about it.
Yep.
But again, if you get two good, really good matches, it's all you need on a pay-per-view.
I would have liked some of the other ones to be a little bit better, but it is what it is.
I mean, they really didn't go out to have bad matches. They just weren't that great.
Because I think all the emphasis was put on the two cell matches, really, as it should have been, so everybody else just kind of sort of like held back a little bit, I think, because of those two matches. It's like, we're not going to top them, so don't even, you know, we're not even going to try.
So, we officially welcome back the SmackDown Throwdown?
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
We've mentioned that Sami Zayn is now the guardian angel of Kevin Owens. We've talked about that. It was great promo. Great stuff. We talked about it just a couple minutes ago. Baron Corbin retained his U.S. title. Great. There was a fatal four-way tag match with Benjamin and Gable winning. We saw Breezango in action. And Benjamin Gable and Hype Rose and Ascension were the four teams. New Day and Usos have respect for each other. Good stuff.
Very good stuff.
Becky Lynch beat Carmella. Solid match. But there's one thing that Lindsay wants to talk about, and that's all we need to talk about. And go.
So the mysterious to be.
Or not to be.
Or not to be. The tease and the hashtag where's Harper, hashtag where's Rowan. Well, we finally, after months, got our answer to all of that. Harper and Rowan showed up in a dark, mysterious setting. We see them as hooded figures, Eric in his sheet mask, Luke underneath a hood that looks surprisingly like Bray Wyatt's gear.
Well, so, you know.
Anyway, they all go to the same tailor.
They all go. Here, take a listen, and we'll describe it afterwards. They have hammers. But here you go. Really heavy breathing.
Ambience.
There is no conscience.
There's no moral compass.
The virtuous will fall.
The wicked will rise.
Broken bones.
Severed spines.
Harper.
Rowan.
Bludgeon Brothers.
Run. No. Okay, go.
Okay, super excited. They're back. They didn't shave them. They didn't do anything crazy to them when they repackaged them. Very, very, very thrilled about that. Because there were concerns. There are a lot of concerns. They've essentially kept them the same. They've kept the same names. They've kept, you know, everything there. They've just made them the Bludgeon Brothers, which I have every belief that they're probably going to drop here in a little while and just go back to Harper and Rowan. Because that's way easier. But they'll hit it really hard for like a month and then it'll probably get dropped. But I like it. The only thing I didn't care for was the staining on Luke's teeth. I don't understand why they need to like do crap to Luke. I mean, first it was that horrible southern accent, and now it's the yellow teeth, but okay, whatever. And also, Eric has a really deep voice. Like, really deep. But then again, I haven't really ever heard him talk.
Except for that one time on Talking Smack.
Except for that one time on Talking Smack, and then it's like, oh my god, look at him!
Because he usually only said like five words.
At that. But I'm looking forward to this. I was very excited that they were back. Finally.
We weren't expecting them on Tuesday.
I don't think anybody was. I don't think anybody was expecting them anywhere because it's like they were literally just like gone. They were missing for months on end. It's like Bray left SmackDown and that was it. Like they just fell into a black hole from which they were never going to come back from. Like, good Lord. So very, very excited that they're back. Looking forward to seeing what they do and, you know, going for the tag titles, which they may go for the tag titles.
At some point.
And if they do, this time, WWE, give them to them. Don't do what you did last time.
Right.
Such a disappointment.
Such a very disappointment.
Terrible disappointment.
But I like the promo. I didn't like the hood. I think Harper looked uncomfortable in the hood.
I think, yeah, well, I think Harper's hood was too big.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And also, they were awkward with the hammers because, again, it's like that's, I don't think that's Harper's real shtick is with a hammer. I feel like Harper is much more gestural. So to cut a promo without his hands, I think he was a little jarred by that. I don't know, though. And also, it wasn't the eloquent promos that we've gotten from Luke Harper. So I kind of hope they just don't have him be like this halting the way that they spoke in the promo. I hope that's not how they speak. Like, they actually are able to give more eloquent promos because we both know they can talk.
Yeah, it was more of a 15-30 minute teaser.
Second.
Huh?
You said 15-30 minute teaser.
15-second. About a minute teaser.
But I'm looking forward to it. I want to see more of it. So very, very, very excited.
They have a demolition feel.
They do. But it's really interesting that they've kind of kept that Wyatt aesthetic.
A little bit.
You know.
I'm just saying.
Just in case.
Yeah. I also want to see what their entrance would look like. Kind of curious.
Very curious about that, yeah. Very curious about that.
So, anything else from SmackDown you really want to talk about?
No, I'm good.
I think that does it then.
I think that does it as well. So, well, you got plugs, so plug away.
Check out Saturday Night CB Radio, Midnight-ish. We'll have Greater Than Great Debate. We'll have the Blame Robs, Blame Subs, all of it. CB Radio, Saturday Night's Midnight-ish. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter.com. Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio will preview tables, ladders, and chairs. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. In place of WTR Sims this week, we'll do the live simulation of TLC. Cool? So,
cool.
Tune in, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. Subscribe to it, follow it, because whenever I decide to do stuff with the game, you can see it at twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/RackRadioShow. SatCam, there you go. YouTube.com/RackRadioShow. Bunch of WWE 2K18 content will be available there. You can get Total Bellas there. You can get the conference call from Impact Wrestling on there right now. And there's even a Madden game on there. So check it all out, youtube.com/RackRadioShow. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll have NXT, we'll have SmackDown. And we'll preview TLC next week right here on the show. Check out the Rock Extra Total Bella Season 2, Episode 6. Now available, Episode 7 will be available next week. Rock Radio Show, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Instagram. Everywhere it's Rock Radio Show. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tackle him. Tackle him. There you go. Push him, it's fine. Go ahead.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211, and FightBooth.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on RawTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.